Open our Bibles tonight, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 7. I want to go back tonight and just briefly, for a little while, just a few minutes, to deal with some things in chapter number 7. I preached this morning on what Melchizedek teaches us about Christ out of this same passage, and dealt with a little bit out of the first three verses. But I wanted tonight just kind of shed some light on some things whenever we're dealing with Christ and the eternal priesthood. We know that the Scripture teaches and tells us here that Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being verse number 2, chapter number 7, first being the interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. We talked about this morning how that Melchizedek is a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've also mentioned several times already the fact that the Bible says that he's without father, without mother, without descent, not having the beginning of days nor end of life. That's referring to history. He is not an angelic being. He was not a God before Jesus Christ. There's not anything like that that some like to teach and pull that out of Scripture. It's just that history doesn't have a record of his birth, doesn't have a record of his parents. At least it's not listed in Scripture. They may be something somewhere along the way that somebody may find that's not been found in years. I don't know. But there's some things God just don't tell us. Amen? And so we just accept that and move on. But the Scripture says he has neither beginning nor days nor end of life. So in typology, it is a type of Jesus Christ, because Christ is eternal, has no mother that's listed other than his earthly mother, amen, and because he's 100% man, 100% woman. But he has no beginning of days or end of life because Christ is eternal. So he's likened to the Son of God. He's king of righteousness. Melchizedek is king of righteousness and king of peace. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is also the king of righteousness and, of course, the king of peace. Without, as I said this morning, without righteousness, there is no peace. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no peace. There is no righteousness, amen, in our life. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to read three verses. I want to read verse number 3 again. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Then verse number 17, the Bible says in verse 17, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going forth before the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. I'm just going to deal with those two verses for just a little bit. And then let me just read verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. So we talk about, on Thursday night, we talked about the Old Testament, the Levitical law, the Levitical priest, tonight we're going to discuss that again, just briefly, and also the fact that it is with Christ, it is a better hope. It's a better testament. It's a better priesthood. We're going to look at all that here in just a minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege tonight you've given us to be in your house. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be at the house of God, Lord, tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd bless the reading of your word. I pray, Lord, you'd speak through me, use me, and help me, Lord, tonight. I do pray as we study the precious word of God together, Lord, as we see what is meant by the priesthood of Jesus Christ and how we get an understanding of that and see what it means to us eternally, how it affects us forever and ever. And I pray, dear God, you'd help us to see these things tonight. Lord, we do love you, do thank you and praise you for loving us. I pray now that you'd speak through me and use me now, Father, I pray, and hold back all the opposing powers and all the hindrances, Lord, tonight. May your will be accomplished. May your will be done. In Jesus' loving, sweet, precious, and holy name we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. Again, we're looking in chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, and we're looking at the eternal priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about his priesthood is eternal. His person, the effects of his sacrifice, his intercessory office, everything about him is eternal. And this means that he can save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him, because he himself is eternal. Christ has brought to, in a better hope, as we've seen in verse number 19, by which we draw nigh unto God in this better hope. The Levitical priesthood could only bring men to the outer part of the earthly temple, but Christ brings them into the very holy of holies in heaven. Now, we talked about that already, but we'll do it again for the sake of the CD, the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament could not accomplish what Christ did in the New Testament in His eternal priesthood. Whenever those high priests would go in once a year into the Holy of Holies, they'd have to do that every year, once a year, and confess sin of their own. Amen. Confess their own sin and then for the sins of the people, and that had to be done every single year. There's no way that work or that Levitical law could do away with sin, could not wash sins away. It could only cover them up for a short period of time. It didn't have to be done again. Christ comes on the scene, and Christ being the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, he comes on the scene and he is a priest. The verse 17 says that he is a priest forever. The difference there is there was no oath made with the Levitical law for the Levitical high priest. There was not an oath between those priests and God. But with Christ, God made an oath. Psalms verse 1, chapter 110, verse 4, the oath is there that says, "The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." It is impossible for something to be sure or more sure than to be confirmed by an oath by Almighty God. If God said it, that settles it. Amen? And God swore that He would be a priest forever. Christ is the surety of a better testament. Look at verse number 22. The Scripture says, "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament." Now, as we look in Webster's dictionary, says that word surety means one that is bound with and for another. It describes one who pledges to stand for the debt of another person. One who says, "I'll take care of that. If there's anything owed, I'll take care of that debt." We find that in Scripture. Genesis chapter 44 is an example where Judah told Joseph that he had pledged to be a surety for his brother Benjamin. Here's what the Scripture says. "For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever." So we find that Judah promised to take full blame for Benjamin. That's being a surety for someone. Also find another example in the book of Philemon, where the apostle Paul pledged that he would be a surety for Onesimus. "If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." So that's being a surety for someone. Jesus Christ stands as a surety before God for the believing sinner. He is the surety for us. "If he oweth anything, put that on my account." That's basically what the Lord Jesus Christ has said unto the Father. He stands as a surety for the believing sinner. I hope you can understand that, get a hold of that. Christ has paid the sinner's debt in full. And if he oweth anything, he saith unto the Father, "Put that on my account." The commentator Barnes said this, "In the case of the new covenant between God and man, Jesus is the security or the bondsman. He becomes responsible, so to speak, to law and justice, that no injury shall be done by our salvation, though we are sinners. His suretyship extends to this point, that the law shall be honored, that all its demands shall be met, that we may be saved through, or saved though we have violated it, and that its terrific penalty shall not fall upon us." It is amazing tonight to think on those things, that Christ is our surety. Amen? We are still sinners, but we're saved by grace, and that righteousness of Christ has been imputed unto us. That makes us righteous before God. That gives us peace with God because of the work that Christ did on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, being a high priest forever. Amen. And so we get a hold of that tonight, understand that He has paid our debt and continues, amen, to send surety for our sins. Christ's testament is better in every way. Here's four ways I'm going to give you real quickly that Christ's testament is better, as verse number 22 says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Here's why it's better. Number one, it's better because whereas the old covenant was a covenant of works and condemnation, the new covenant is a covenant of grace and blessing. Amen. You're saved by grace through faith. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's a better testament. It's better because whereas the old covenant pertained to earthly things, the new pertains to heavenly things. The earthly things being the blood of bulls and goats that had to be sacrificed and all the things that had to be done in the old covenant. But in the new, it's heavenly things, and it pertains to things which are spiritual. It's better in that while the old was temporal, the new is eternal. Temporal meaning it had to continually go in year after year after year and plead the blood and pray over the sins. But the New Testament is eternal, settled, finished there on the cross of Calvary, and never, ever, ever had to be done again. Amen. It's better a testament also, whereas the Old Covenant pertained to the to only the Israelites and the proselytes to Israel, but the New is offered unto all men. Jesus Christ died for the sins and for the souls of every man, woman, boy, and girl. Amen. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, amen, should call upon Him shall not perish. That means every man has an opportunity, will have an opportunity to come to know Christ as Savior. Amen. They can accept or they can reject. Christ has an unchangeable priesthood. Look with me, verse number 23 and 24. Here the Bible says, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. His priesthood is unchangeable. For this reason, our salvation is secure. I'm glad tonight that my salvation is secure in the work, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm not relying on some priest with his collar on backwards in a booth to get me to heaven. Amen. I'm relying on the finished work of Calvary. My salvation is secure in Christ. And He ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for us on the basis of His one offering. Christ is able, according to verse number 25, to save to the uttermost. Look with me. That's our memory verse for the month of March. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. This word uttermost, it means entire, complete, utterly, as well as full ended and through all time. In this one word, we have a description of the perfection of Christ's salvation. Amen. Just in one word, He saves completely, absolutely, forever, full-ended, through all time, utterly, entire. Amen? He saves us if we accept Him as Lord and Savior. There's nothing necessary for our salvation that Christ Himself does not supply. Amen? The Bible says that He shall supply all our need. The book of Philippians. Y'all remember that verse of Scripture? He shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. What do we need? We only need Christ. If we have Christ, we have it all. Amen? When it comes to salvation, there's nothing else that's needed that Christ Himself does not supply. He saves those who come unto God by Him. That is, those who come to God trusting solely in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Again, the commentator Barnes said this, "No one has asked aid of Him and found Him unable to render it. No one has been suffered to sink down to hell because His arm was weak. What He has done for a few, He can do for all. And they who will entrust themselves to Him will find Him a sure Savior. Men have gone with a troubled spirit, with a guilty conscience, and with awful apprehensions of the wrath to come, and have asked Him to save them. Not one of those who have done this has found reason to doubt his ability. Not one has regretted that he has committed the deathless interest of the soul into his hands. Barnes, a pretty smart commentator, amen. Not one person that's ever called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them have found themselves an unsaved individual, amen. Christ can save to the uttermost all of those that come unto God by Him. We find also that there's none that's ever committed their life to the Lord that says that they've regretted. I know myself personally, I don't know anybody that's ever said I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and wished I had never done that. I don't know anybody that's ever said that. If anybody has really said that or ever said that, they truly, obviously was not truly born again. Amen? There's no way. Amen. Because Christ changes us and He does a work on the inside that only Christ can do, only God can do. Amen? And so that whenever there's such a change in salvation, there's nobody ever said those words that they regretted that they were saved. I know, experiencing that myself in salvation, I've never regretted a day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm thankful tonight that He can save me to the uttermost, and there's nothing else in salvation that I need that Christ hasn't supplied. Amen. There's nothing that you need in your salvation that Christ has not supplied. He's given us everything that we need. Ironside, H.A. Ironside said this. He said, salvation to the uttermost here does not simply mean salvation from every kind of sin, but is even greater than that. It is salvation forevermore. He whom God saves is saved eternally, for he who died for him lives to keep him and to complete the work that he began. I believe the Scripture teaches us and tells us that he who is able to finish that which he has started. Amen. That's not word perfect, but he's able to complete that. He's able to finish that. He is able to do that which he began, which he started. And the Bible here says in verse number 25 that he makes intercession. This is one of the greatest passages of all the New Testament when it deals with Christ's intercessory ministry. Intercession speaks of a lawyer pleading one's case. The reason why Jesus argued the believer sinner's case before God the Father is because He paid the price demanded by God's law for the sinner's crime. Christ has the authority. Christ has the ability to plead our case, amen, because He paid the debt, and therefore He is our mediator. He is our go-between. He is our advocate with God the Father. Thank God for that, amen. That we find also, why does the Lord Jesus Christ need to be ever interceding for us as our priest in heaven? You might want to ask that question, or might have someone ask you that question. Why is it if we're saved by God's grace, if we're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ's righteousness has been imputed to us, why does Christ have to be sitting on the right hand of God the Father interceding for us and praying for us? Well, the reason is because you and I, friend, are still sinners. Amen? We're still ungodly sinners, and we're still wretched and vile and Adamic nature that we have, and we don't always do right. Amen? We're not righteous. There's none righteous. No, not one, according to Scripture. And so, therefore, the work of Christ in salvation and saving our unworthy souls, in the work of that, there's a continual work, and He's making intercession for us because we do not know how we ought to pray. We do not know how we ought to praise. There's things that we try to do in our flesh. There's things that we try to do in this life, and it's not well pleasing unto the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, is there making intercession for us and doing the work that needs to be done before God the Father. The answer is that although the finished work of Calvary brings us a full and free forgiveness, we still remain sinners, wretched, prohibited from fellowship with a holy God. The heavenly ministry of our Lord answers the further need. Through His sacrifice on earth, we have our forgiveness. Through His priesthood in heaven, we are kept in the fellowship. He needs to be there, amen, forever in the priesthood situation and the priesthood position there because He's saved us to the uttermost, and He's able to do that. And so the work has to continue in heaven. Amen. Intercession speaks of purifying someone or something to make it acceptable. As our mediator, Jesus brings our worship and our prayers acceptable for the Father. I believe the Scripture teaches us that there's times that we do not know what we ought to pray or pray as we should. Amen? And Christ is there interceding, and He's there beside the Father, and He's interceding for us, and He's telling Him, hey, listen, this is what they mean. Amen? This is what they need. This is what they are asking for. And so there's many times our prayers we don't pray as we should, or even we don't offer praise as we should. Amen? A thrice holy God cannot accept the prayer and praise of a sinful people. When the prayer and the praise is offered through Jesus and in His name, though it is purified and made acceptable, as dirty water is cleansed by means of a filter. That's why it's vitally important when you pray that you pray in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's taught throughout Scripture that we're to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how we ought to pray. Amen? That's one of the oughts of our prayer. And if we don't do that, amen, we're leaving out the most important part of our prayer. It's like a filter, amen, as water is cleansed by means of a filter. This is signified by the golden incense altar in heaven, wherein the prayers of the saints are mingled with incense, which is the perfume of Christ's intercession. Let me give you chapter and verse. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. He presents before God our prayers and our praises. Let me read that to you real quickly in Revelation chapter number 8 and verse number 3 and verse number 4. The Bible says in verse number 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. There was given unto him much incense, that it should offer it, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And so there we find that the incense is that whenever we pray, the incense of Christ is as a perfume unto God the Father. Amen? And He helps us in our prayers and in our praise. Our heartfelt worship ascends to the Father by Him. To all our prayers and praises, Christ adds His sweet perfume and love the censer raises, and these odors to consume. We may often be discouraged as we realize something of the imperfection, even to our highest and best efforts to glorify God. But listen, we must understand that it's not us, it's not in our great abilities, but it is Christ. Amen. He is there interceding for us, and He's interceding on behalf of our prayers and on behalf of our praises. Amen. We are still sinners, and we're only saved by the Lord's blood or grace, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must understand that the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ is to take our prayer and our praises unto God the Father. It only goes through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way for Him to get there, because sinful man cannot stand before a holy God, amen, without the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hope that makes sense to you. Hope you understand that. For Christ has an eternal priesthood. We find in verse 17, for He testified, thou, and the He there is talking about Jehovah God. He, God, testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And there is verily this annulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Amen. How do we do that? How do we draw nigh unto God? We draw nigh unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ and that better covenant, those better promises, because He is forever, amen, there in heaven doing the priestly work. Now, let me get back to my notes here. Our great high priest takes out of our prayers and praises everything that is unholy or of the flesh, everything that is contrary to the nature of the God we adore. Then to what is left, He adds His own infinite perfections and therefore presents all to the Father on our behalf. Intercession speaks of assistance. The general meaning is that He undertakes their cause. And He assists them in overcoming their foes and in their endeavors to live a holy life. He does in heaven whatever is necessary to obtain for us grace and strength, secures the aid which we need against our foes. We wonder sometimes how we can live a holy life, how we can live a life that is well-pleasing unto the Lord. My friend, without the Lord Jesus Christ, it's impossible. Amen. Can't do that. But He is there making intercessions for us, and He gives us everything we need, and He helps us to make the wise and right decisions that we need to make, and helps us to live a holy and righteous life. We are to be like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Amen. And that mind was to be well pleasing to the God of heaven, to do everything in this life. And we have that ability, we have that power, to live this life and to do those things because He is there doing the priesthood work for us in heaven. Amen. We find many times throughout Scripture that we're commanded to live holy, to live righteous, and to follow after the things which are holy and righteous. Amen. Think on those things that are pure and true and honest, Paul said. And we're to do those things, and that makes it better for us. Amen. As far as our life, living as an example to those around us, they may see Christ in us and realize He's missing in them, and they've come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Intercession speaks of assistance. Not only is He there beside the Father interceding on our behalf and praying for us, but He's helping with our prayers and our praises as they're lifted up. The general meaning, again, it means that He undertakes our cause and assists them or assists us in overcoming our foes in the endeavors to live a holy life. There's many that try to destroy us. There's many that try to come against us. There's many that try to hurt us. But Christ is there, amen, to help us and to assist us in living a life that is holy. No excuse for living an ungodly life. No excuse at all, amen. No reason to fall back. No reason to turn around. No reason at all to turn to something that is false. To turn to apostasy, as many have. They listen to the lies of the devil. And there's no need for that. There's no reason for that, because we have the assistance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the intercessory work that He's doing there at the throne beside the Father. Amen. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that cometh to God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for them. That intercessory work. His work is eternal. His priesthood is forever. It is a better testament. Amen. And it is an eternal priesthood that it would never, never, ever expire. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 26, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of an oath, of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated for evermore. Amen. You can be settled in your salvation tonight. We can be sure of our salvation. We can have our surety in our salvation, have our security in our salvation, because our salvation is based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is a high priest forever. Amen. The eternal work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Much better than that of the Old Testament. Amen. Hope this is a help to you tonight. Kind of a little addition to Thursday night, I guess, or a little add-in from Thursday night. Understanding that the eternal priesthood of Jesus Christ. It's forever. It's forever settled as God's Word is. And Christ is a priest forever and ever. Amen. According to the Scripture. And He's there making intercession for us. He's able to save us to the uttermost, which means the absolute forever. Never can, never will lose your salvation. Can't lose what you believe. Amen. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't lose it. Nobody can take that away from you. Amen. Thank the Lord for saving grace. I'm glad I'm saved for all eternity. Don't have to worry about laying my head down at night and losing that. Amen. I'm secure. I'm settled. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have accepted Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary. And the continual work in the heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the wonderful privilege you've given us to study your